Well, good morning, folks. We're going to start out with our I'll Fly Away. Getting so hot out there, it's going to be I'll Fry Away soon in Florida. But let's still sing I'll Fly Away.
Well, some glad morning when this life is o'er, I'll fly away to a home on God's celestial shore. I'll fly away.
Might fly away before we die, right? That is our hope. Before we do what we normally do, tomorrow being Memorial Day, I'd like to tell you about something that happened in my life that has to do with that day. It all starts with a very bad idea. And it wasn't mine, it was my brother's. All right? Which he was fully capable of as a young man. And so many years ago, they got this idea of building a treehouse in the schoolyard behind where I lived in Dunedin. And there were a row of houses there, and we were one of them. So they built this treehouse, and they get another brilliant idea. Instead of shimmying up an oak tree to do all this, or building ladders or anything, they would put a rope over one of the limbs and haul stuff up. Which is not that bad an idea until they realize, hey, we can actually do this with the other guys. So it came time for Barry to get out of a tree, my brother Barry, and he was up on a limb, and he put a rope around his, a loop around his body with his arms there, and he jumped off the limb, and his buddies down there were going to lower him down. Well, about halfway down, it slipped over his arm and went around his neck. And so I imagine they were kind of, you know, wondering, what do we do? Drop him or what? Pull him up higher? When all of a sudden, along that row of houses, a young man jumped over the hedge, according to the story. Of course, I wasn't there, or else this wouldn't have happened. I would have told my brother, that's a dumb idea, right? But a young man jumped over the hedge and said, stop! And he went over to my brother. He's a tall young man. He's tall enough to reach up and put my brother's feet on his hands and lift up and keep the pressure off my brother. And they dealt with it, and he was okay. The young man's name was Russell Ford. And he grew up, and he decided to join the Army. And this is back in the 60s, so he went to Vietnam. And when I was 11 years old, we and my buddies and I were getting ready to go ride our bikes up and down our neighborhood street and make a lot of noise, as we usually do. And my mom says, hey, Tommy, don't make any noise today. Stay here. Don't go down the street. And I said, why? I was curious. And she said, Russell was killed in action. He was the only son, they had daughters, but he was the only son of his parents, the Fords, down the road. I said, what happened, Mom? I, as a young man, you know, you're 11 years old, you just don't, we talk among our friends, because I had heard about the Vietnam War, and it was always this thing far away, but suddenly it was in my neighborhood. On Memorial Day, when I lived in Clearwater, we would visit Sullivan Abbey, beautiful cemetery. And I take my girls there. And I copied the plaque, it's a little plaque in the ground, of Russell Ford's grave. It says, Russell Thomas Ford, Private First Class Company C, 101st Airborne Division, Vietnam. Born January 22nd, 1945. Died May 12th, 1967. That means he's 22 years old. Today, Russell, if he lived this long, would be 76. He missed out a lot. But I knew, like I said, that there was being a price paid. It wasn't just a thing on the news where they would report the numbers every day. It was someone who was a good young man. I always am thankful that he kept my brother from hanging himself. You know, that's, but in a way, he did a life of many things in that short time. And that's what I think of, that young man, when I think of Memorial Day. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I know the Fords' hearts were broken. It's probably something they never got over. And Lord, I know that this is still something that others today are especially having to deal with. And so we lift them up to you. We ask you to help them, Father, through this time. It is Memorial Day. It is a remembrance day. And we don't forget them, Lord. And we'll keep mentioning their names and thinking about their sacrifice. I also bring up before you Sally. I thank you, Lord, that she's had much better weeks and that, Father, the treatments have been brought where she can endure them. But help them be effective. Lord, just continue to bless her and Dave with these good days. We pray for Keith. Thank you that he's home from the hospital after having COVID in a very dangerous situation. We pray for Michelle and her dealing with it too. Give them strength each day, encouragement too, Lord. We pray for Sharon and Linda. We think of them as they grieve, Father, for their lost ones, their loved ones that aren't there. But Lord, we pray you would just fill their hearts with, as you can, the empty spot. Father, we thank you for just giving help to those that are in physical need, mental, spiritual need. We think of Joanne continually having problems with chronic pain. Also bring up Brother Larry, who has his knee has gone out on him, and it's very painful. Just help him to heal. Lord, these are beyond our power to do something about besides to pray, and that is a great thing to do. So we've done that in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so looking at our page here, first I'm going to read Revelation 13, 11 through 18. Revelation 13, 11 through 18. These are the verses that we're considering today. Revelation 13, 11 through 18. It says in Revelation 13, 11, "And I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb, and he spake as a dragon, and he exerciseth all the power of the first beast before him, and causeth the earth and them which dwell therein to worship the first beast, whose deadly wound was healed. And he doeth great wonders, so that he maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men, and deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beast which had the wound by a sword and did live. And he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. And he causeth all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads. And that no man might buy or sell, save he that had the mark, or the name of the beast, or the number of his name. Here is wisdom. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast. For it is the number of a man. And his number is 666. All right. Let's look at our memory verse for this week in Revelation chapter 22. I love reading the end of a book, right? In the sense that, you know, we hear a lot about the bad news in the middle and at the beginning, but here are the ending. It's just wonderful. And so it's good to know this is coming. Revelation 22:12, ready to begin. "And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according as his work shall be." And then the memory verse for the next lesson is Revelation 22:13. Let's say that one together. Ready to begin. "I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last." Now we would say this in our alphabet. Jesus, or the person saying this, was, I am A and Z. Alpha being the first of the Greek letters and Omega being the last in their alphabet. All right, so we would say, I am A and Z. The first and then at last, the beginning and the end. All right, not that long a verse. I'm working on that one for next week. All right, let's review a little bit about Revelation 13. I would think, folks, it's kind of easy to remember, although this is all random. This is just random. It is not something inspired, because the chapter divisions and verse divisions are not inspired in the same way as the words are. I think they're very handy. But isn't Revelation 13 about the Antichrist and the false prophet? And 13 is supposed to be this unlucky number. And I use anything just because that's the way I think I need to do to remember anything. I need to associate it. Association always helps me. So if I ever want to know, where's the chapter about the Antichrist and the false prophet? Where's that 666 chapter? And I think, Revelation 13. I'm not superstitious, right? But, the fact is that just helps me. All right, so we learn in the first half about the Antichrist. He's never called Antichrist in the book of Revelation. It's what John uses a term in his letters, other letters. And so this is the name we give him because he fits that description John gave in 1 John and others. Someone who denies God and the power of Christ and who Christ is. All right, so Antichrist. Let's do this. Three across is what? There is nothing equal to God, and there is nothing what? Opposite. There's nothing opposite God. We are not of those, this dualism that believes that there is, in this side, in this ring, ding, ding, tonight, we have God. And he in this corner is going to be, he's this, all this powerful. And over in this corner, we have Satan. Ring the bell. They come out and fight. And that's what we think is happening in the Bible, but actually it's not at all. There is nothing opposite God. Hot is opposite cold, tall is opposite short, but there's nothing that's opposite God. Satan is a created being. He's nowhere near that. All right, so maybe Satan and Michael, you could have them in the ring and they could fight. They're more opposite each other, but not Satan and God. There's nothing opposite God. All right, the beast out of the sea had the mouth of a what? Mouth of a lion. There is a relationship between what John sees in Revelation 13 and what blank saw in Daniel 7. I gave it away by the name of the book. Daniel saw in Daniel 7, which is good to review. All right, how about this? Nine across. The beast out of the sea is able to... By the way, it's the Greek word, which, remember, I don't even know enough Greek to be extremely dangerous with it. But the Greek word is Nike. Overcome, right. To have victory, overcome. The beast out of the sea is able to overcome the saints. God allows them. Now, not those that are in the safe spot. Not those that fled into the wilderness, as it describes in chapter 12. And are kept from dragons and Satan's, power. But we're talking about those that didn't make it there. Those that aren't there. They are, God gives Satan the power to overcome them. They die. They can't say, no, I belong to God and I'm not going to be hurt. No, you aren't in the safe spot, okay? You could be overcome. You could be killed. You could be martyred. All right? It's not a weakness on God's part. That's his will. That's what he allows. Okay, so the beast out of the sea is able to overcome the saints. And how about 11 across? The beast out of the sea was like a what? A leopard. Which we said, if that's dealing with Daniel, the leopard pictured Alexander the Great. His conquering power. It's amazing. Again, a little commercial about the summer classes. We are going to talk about Alexander the Great in this class between the Testaments. Because what seems like a whole new world when the New Testament starts, he has a lot to do with that. And he's going to be a little bit of our focus during that. But anyway, so he's the leopard in the book of Daniel. In other words, the Antichrist has this speed of conquering, this power. It just surprises everybody. Like a leopard, he sees them. Okay, how about this? 13 across. Satan offered kingdoms to blank, but he refused to worship Satan. To Jesus. But the Antichrist takes what Jesus had refused, the kingdoms of the world. All right, so 14 across. The blank is not mentioned after the phrase, if any man have an ear, let him hear. The church. And I know the churches are spoken of 18 times in chapters 1, 2, and 3. Right? If you have an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. And then, boom, no, chapter 4, no mention of the churches. 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21. All right, until you get to the end of the book of Revelation, is the church mentioned again. That's because we're talking about the 70th week of Daniel, where Israel's the focus. The church isn't going to be there. If you have some fear that, I've got to hear what the book of Revelation says so I know what to do when this happens and this happens, you won't be here if you're a believer in Jesus today. Don't look at the book of Revelation as some kind of survival guide for you during the tribulation, because the scripture makes it really clear. The church is not going to be there. It's not mentioned after 18 times in the first three chapters. It's not mentioned again till just this very end. Okay, how about this? One down. There is blank, there is wonder, there is praise, there is power, there is preaching, and there is purpose. It's just all redirected towards the beast and the dragon. There's what? Worship. All right, if you think the tribulation time is going to be a godless time of Marxism where atheism rules, no. Satan is simply going to hijack religion, if he hadn't done that already. He's going to hijack religion and just direct it towards a different object of worship. All right, so that people like to be religious, and they'll fit right in with this. Okay, so how about two down? The spectacular blank of the beast leads the people of the world to worship him and the dragon. Healing. Spectacular healing. All right. There are commentaries that are reading. By the way, I just regurgitate a lot of what... That's probably not the word to use. Anyway. I just repeat a lot of what the commentaries say. I'm not, it's available to all of you. Some great commentaries out there about the book of Revelation. And the thing is, a lot of them say that this is more than just a healing. And what we read today, it is a resurrection. It isn't that, okay, you know how people can pass away on an operating table and then they give this, life-saving treatment to them and they come back. And they said they were dead, but they came back. It's not that. It is much more. It is something. You know, people that come back off the operating table that were dead, and I was dead for 30 seconds or a minute or something, they don't get worshipped by the world. This is something much more spectacular. And it does fool people. All right, let's look at... Four down, the saints during the last 3.5 years of the 70th week of Daniel are told to have blank and faith. Patience and faith. And five down, the beast rises up out of the sea, which could represent the Gentile nations. All right. I personally don't believe the Antichrist is a Jew. I think he is. I know it talks about in Daniel the God of his fathers, but that doesn't mean that it's talking about Jehovah God. There are a lot of people who have a heritage of gods and goddesses. But the fact is that I think he is of the Gentile nations. All right, so that's my opinion. How about this? 10, the beast out of the sea had feet like a bear. You know, have you ever seen a bear's paws? I mean, a grizzly bear's paws or the big bear's paws. I was getting ready to go backpacking once up in the mountains, and they made you go into this little room where you had to register where you're going to be every night and in the Smokies. And then just before we go, they have all these pots and pans hanging up on the wall, and they've been shot with shotguns. You got holes all punched in them. And the ranger that's getting us ready to go on this trip, he says, no, that's not shotguns. Those are bear claws and bear teeth. They did that to those pants, and they look like they have been shot. So you keep your cooking stuff away. In other words, it was a warning. All right, so look at this next thing. How about 12 down? The beast out of the sea is given a what? A mouth to speak blasphemy against God. Hey, we're going to learn something about that. That's kind of interesting. The beast out of the sea definitely has a mouth. What does he need a false prophet for? That's a good question. If he has a mouth, in other words, he can talk. He can orate or whatever it is. He can really let loose with a great message. He can get people all fired up. What does he need a false prophet for, or a prophet for? That's a good question to ask about this next character who arises here. Let's go to our actual lesson. Revelation 13, 11 through 18, what I just read on the next page. There are seven important personages introduced here in chapters 12 and 13. And so First off, we had a woman clothed with a son. Who does that represent most likely?
Israel. Israel. Hey, folks, we have to understand the focus in most of the book of Revelation is on Israel, not us. Because Daniel is told 70 weeks are determined. Daniel chapter 9. 70 weeks are determined upon thy people. He is Jewish. And we had 69 of the weeks fulfilled up to the moment of the destruction of Jerusalem by the Romans. And then it talks about the 70th week of Daniel in Daniel 9, verse 27. So if all those 70 weeks of years, would be 490 years, are referring to Israel, not to the church. And so that's a focus on Israel. Now, how about this too? Number two, the great red dragon represented who? Satan. The child represented who? And there is difference of opinion, but who do we say it represents most likely? Jesus, the Messiah. All right. Number four, Michael. Who's he representing? Michael. Okay, so there's really nothing there I need opinion about, right? How about five, the remnant? That's at the end of chapter 12. Who's the remnant? Because it says, you can picture this. Satan's after the dragon. It's after Israel. And they get to the safe spot. Woo! They're safe. He can't catch them. But there's some who didn't make it. Who are they? The remnant. And it says at the end of chapter 12, he will, of course, during the 70th week of Daniel, he will focus his attention on destroying the remnant. And everything that we're seeing in chapter 13, if you want to get the big picture, everything we're seeing, this rise of the Antichrist. Why does Satan need an Antichrist? Because he needs a world political system that everybody's got to be a part of or else you don't live. Why does he need a false prophet? Because he needs a world religion that everybody's got to be a part of or you don't live. He wants to ferret out those that are the remnant and separate them from those that are his, Satan's. So that's what the rise of these characters are. Satan just doesn't try to do everything by himself. He goes to this other means. Okay, so to attack a remnant. That's at the end of chapter 12 in verse 17. And the dragon was wroth with the woman and went to make war with the remnant of her seed, which keep the commandments of God and have a testimony in Jesus Christ. That's why sometimes chapter divisions class, just ignore them. You think, okay, chapter 12 is over. Let's get a brand new topic now. No. The next thing he sees, the Antichrist rise up. Why? It's the Satan's effort to make war on the remnant. They're connected. They're not separated by the chapter division. Okay, so how about this? The beast out of the sea. Number six. Who does that represent? Most likely the Antichrist, right? And the beast out of the earth. Who does that represent? The false prophet. Okay, so now we are in a pause. In the narrative of the seventh trumpet being blown, we're in a pause. I want you to look, just to show you this, chapter 11, verse 19. Look at the last verse of chapter 11 and compare that to Revelation 15, 5. Okay, so again, if you like to mark up things in your Bible, because I would never remember if I didn't do that kind of stuff. I would never remember these things. So at verse 19 of Revelation chapter 11, I wrote, see chapter 15, 5. I wrote that. See that. In other words, go from there to there. Let's do it. I mean, here it says in verse 19, and the temple of God was opened in heaven, and there was seen in his temple the ark of the testament, and there were lightnings and voices and thunderings and an earthquake and great hail. Pause. Seven important personages are being introduced. It's not part of the narrative. Now go to 15, 5. And we hit the resume button. 15:5. And after that I looked, and behold, the temple of the tabernacle of the testimony in heaven was opened. And the seven angels. Okay, you understand? Now we pick it up with the narrative. It is not twice that the temple was opened to his view. It is the same revelation of what's happening there in the temple. It's just there's this pause that we are in right now with Revelation 13, 12, 13, 14, and part of 15. All right, let's go back now and look a little more detail at the verses that we're considering today. Revelation 13, 11 through 12. Revelation 13, 11 through 12. It says, and I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb and spake as a dragon. And he exerciseth all the power of the first beast before him, and causeth the earth and them which dwell therein to worship the first beast, whose deadly wound was healed. You know, it's interesting. This one comes out of the earth And some of the commentaries I read about this said this. The one out of the sea, the people in the old days especially, they thought the things that came out of the sea were the worst things that could ever be. And the one that comes out of the earth, it seems like it is bad, but it is not on the same level as that which came out of the sea. In other words, it's kind of saying, okay, there's another beast, but this beast coming out of the earth is not quite as spectacular or powerful or level on the same level as the one that came out first out of the sea, the Antichrist. Now, I don't know if that's what all that means, but it's just interesting. If you wonder, why is it one out of the sea, one out of the earth, and there's a lot of speculation about that, but I think that's what it means. And it says, here's his purpose. It says, he exerciseth all the power of the first beast before him and causeth the earth and them which dwell therein to worship the first beast whose deadly wound was healed. Hold your place here. And again, if you like writing cross references, John chapter 15, verse 26. In the Gospel of John, Jesus talks about the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, who is his substitute here. Instead of Jesus' presence here, we have the Holy Spirit. It's greater than having Jesus here, because Jesus would always be here or over here, over here, over here, over here in the world. But the Holy Spirit can be in us everywhere. And Jesus says, hey, my leaving you and the Holy Spirit coming as a substitute is actually your advantage. Your advantage. But look what the Holy Spirit's mission is. It says in John 15, verse 26, but when the Comforter, this is the Holy Spirit, when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall, what? Testify of me. Okay, so the purpose of the Holy Spirit is not to take the place of Jesus as far as I'm now the focus here. No, it is always to present Jesus as the focus. And anytime you go to a church or you talk to a person and they talk Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, which is an interesting study and it should be known. But the Holy Spirit's job is not to point to itself. The Holy Spirit's, or himself, the Holy Spirit's job is to point to whom? Jesus. And there's always a problem doctrinally when the Holy Spirit becomes the focus of a ministry, when the Holy Spirit is saying, no, look at Jesus. All right, look at chapter 16. Same kind of things reiterated by Jesus in verse 13. Look at 16:13. John 16:13 says, howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, has come. Here's another name for the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth. He will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of what? Himself. But whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. Now, I know Jesus is basically saying there, the Holy Spirit's not going to get its own inspiration, own message. It'll be, this is what the Holy Spirit's told to speak. And I just think that what's happening in the book of Revelation is that Satan's setting up a whole unholy trinity. And Satan, the dragon, is God the Father. And the Antichrist is God the Son. I'm talking about a parody of God the Son. And the false prophet is God the Holy Spirit. He sets up his own unholy trinity, counterfeits. In other words, what God has revealed about himself in the Bible. Because it seems like the false prophet and the Holy Spirit have the same mission, to exalt someone. All right, go back to Revelation 13. It says in verse 13, let's go ahead and do this matching. I love matching games. All right, here we go. The great red dragon, Satan. What would that be? See? All right, so we say he represents God the Father. Not represents, but he mimics God the Father, Satan. Hey, who was probably, according to Ezekiel and Isaiah, who had closest access to the throne of God at one time? Lucifer, who fell and became Satan? All right, so he can boast that. Hey, I'm from heaven. That's literally true. He's from heaven. All right, so he can say that. All right, number two, the beast out of the sea. What happened there? Fatally wounded and healed or resurrected? Hey, does that remind you of Jesus at all? Yes. All right, so he's mimicking Jesus. How about this? The beast out of the earth or the false prophet? B, he points to the Antichrist, which is the Holy Spirit's ministry is to point to Jesus. Here we have this unholy mimic. Here are the false prophets. So Satan, sometimes Christians wonder, is
this thing about the Trinity, it's very ambiguous in the Bible. Never really. But, you know, it's amazing how many times there are references to it. Even Satan recognizes that God is three in one, right? Because when he wants to set up his false narrative about himself, he represents himself, you know, as these three persons, or at least as a mimic of the Trinity. Okay, let's go back to Revelation 13:13. Not once, but twice. Look at Revelation 13:13. And he doeth great wonders, so that he maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of the men, and deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he had the power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beast which had the wound by a sword. Now, that's the first time we've heard that. Okay. So it doesn't say he's shot or he falls down and hits his head. It says he's wounded with a sword and did live. All right, now, this I'm reading verse 15. And he had the power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause them that, cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. All right, this is, you know, what we're reading are some of the most familiar, or you could say most asked about verses in the book of Revelation. I would think so. A lot of people are fascinated by this. It's amazing how many times movies and everything have been made about these moments here. And so let's look at them carefully, because it says in verse 13, he, who's the he? The beast that comes out of the earth. What we call the false prophet. Now, if you're wondering, well, Tom, how do you get this, you know, the false prophet? Is that something that the Bible talks about, Antichrist or false prophet? Okay, go to Revelation and look in chapter 19, in verse 20. Revelation 19:20. Okay, I know you're thinking, you never do that. You never go ahead to see what's going to happen. You always wait until that comes so that you can surprise us, you know, with the ending. I know, but in this particular case, by the way, that's the way I want to approach the book of Revelation. I don't want things to be explained to me until God explains them in the book. So I'm not going ahead and going with that. So, but here, I'm going to do this. Look at Revelation chapter 19, verse 20, because I keep calling him the false prophet. I want to see, there's scriptural justification for calling him the false prophet. It says, and the beast was taken. Now, you know, it's not called the Antichrist. It's not, as far as I can tell, it's not in the book of Revelation, Antichrist. The beast is talking about the one out of the sea we talked about yesterday, or last Sunday. And with him the what? False prophet. Okay, so. That wrought miracles before him. Did we just see that? And it even has the words before him, before the beast. It's almost as if the false prophet really can't do much unless the beast is looking at him. Okay, false prophet's running around town trying to do something and maybe can't do it. He gets in the sight of the beast. And he can do miracles. It seems like that's what it says. And which deceived them that had received the mark of the beast and them that worshipped his image, these both were cast alive in the lake of fire burning with brimstone. The key here, class, is this. You don't throw the Catholic Church into the lake of fire. You don't throw all the popes into the lake of fire. You don't throw a particular world system into the lake of fire. And it's not false prophets. It's false prophet. The idea is here, there are a lot of people who speculate. I personally think that Christians look at the book of Revelation and waste a lot of time speculating. All I know is that it says it's a false prophet. It's one person. You cast a person into the lake of fire. So this beast and this false prophet don't represent a corporate entity. They are, you know, people in that sense. Okay, go back to Revelation 13. Moses, could he talk? He could talk. But what was his problem? He says, I stutter, or something like that. I'm not eloquent. I'm not able to put a lot together. And you want me to go back to Egypt and say all these things to Pharaoh, and I can't go up to Pharaoh and say, will you think about maybe letting the people go? Will you? I need somebody. And the Lord said, okay, I'll give you your brother, Aaron. And Aaron was his spokesman. So a lot of times when he stood before Pharaoh, it wasn't Moses that said, "Let my people go." It was, "Let my people," and Aaron would say it. And he could say it with a powerful voice and have all that, you know. That's what seems to be happening here. You know who had the mouth? The beast. It says in last week that he had the mouth, but everything he was saying was blasphemy. And most people, if I walked out into the street and said, "Hey, follow me, I'm God. There is no God but me. I'm God." Most people in the world would go, "What are you? Forget it. I can speak all those blasphemies and nobody's going to follow me." So the beast needs a spokesman. The beast needs the false prophet, because the false prophet uses as a much more deceptive method than the beast would have. The beast would be saying, "Okay, I'm God, believe it or die." Whereas the false prophet goes out there and says, "Watch this. Fire coming down out of heaven. Look at this." And, you know, pointing at the healing of the beast and all those kinds of things. "Look at this." I'm not saying he did the healing, but it's just something that he uses miracles to deceive. Miracles to deceive. By the way, did that happen before Pharaoh? Were not the magicians of Egypt able to mimic some of what God had told Moses to use? So you can say this never happened before. You can't say that, because it has happened before, that miracles can be used by demons and by those that are trying to get us off the path. So people are ready, by the way, to be deceived in a lot of ways. And if you're thinking, if I lived during this time, I would never be deceived by this. Of course, I'm not planning on being there, because I'm taking up with the rapture, or I'll die and go to be with Christ. I'm not going to be here. But a lot of people like to speculate. Not me. I'd be one of those that, you know, no matter what, I wouldn't worship the beast. I wouldn't take that mark. I wouldn't do it. I wouldn't do it. Do you realize that today we are being fooled in many ways by Satan, and we just go on? Now, you say, okay, let me just say it this way. In most Baptist churches, if you were to go and listen to the gospel that they give today, it is not the gospel of grace alone, faith alone in Christ. In one way or another, they add works to it. The only thing that would keep a person from Christ and from salvation. And I'm not saying they're bad, evil people that are doing this. They're sincere, good, dedicated people. But they've been fooled into thinking, saying, "Ask Jesus into your heart." And they give them the gospel. They've been fooled. It is a scam of Satan. It's just like saying, "They never landed on the moon." They never did. It was all a Hollywood thing. They just filmed it in Hollywood and then showed it to the world, because those astronauts never landed on the moon. They're all part of it. You've heard scam after scam after scam after scam. In religion, there are scams that Satan has perpetrated on believers. And one of them is, if I can't keep your mouth shut about Jesus, I'll just give you a message that doesn't save people. And you'll use that. It's just as much, just the same as if you never opened your mouth at all. I mean, I don't know how many times I heard even a missionary say things like, you know, repent, without explaining what repent meant. It's a different definition in the Bible than what we have today. You know, a person who repents in order to be saved changes their mind about how to be saved and puts their faith in Christ as their Savior. The word means to change your mind. If I am involved with a sin and I repent about that sin, yeah, I change my mind about that not being a good thing. It's sin, and I need to. Okay, but in the definition in Webster today, it's sorrow for sin and turning from sin. That's all it means. And so, anytime somebody uses the word repent and they don't explain what it means biblically, okay, well, you sound like you're giving, you know, a biblical message, but you aren't. Satan has deceived you. You fell to the scam. So, and we're believers with the Holy Spirit in us. It takes a lot to say, "I wouldn't be one of those people in the tribulation. I know it. I'd be. I wouldn't." Okay. For some, I'm not going to be in the tribulation. I'm not saying I will be. But I don't think we ought to be so proud. He's done a pretty good job of deceiving us. And you're saying, "Well, Tom, how do you know most Baptist churches do that? Because I've visited a lot of Baptist churches." And it's a rare day that I'll hear one say, "You're not saved by your works. You're saved by the grace of God through faith in Christ," and point out the verses. It's a rare day that somebody doesn't say, "Follow Jesus." You want to? How many of you want to follow Jesus? You know, there's some great movies that are being made, Christian movies, aren't they now? When you watch the Christian movies, you know, there's a church, a Baptist church, I think it is, that is producing a lot of these things. When you watch those movies, have you ever paid attention to the gospel presentation in those movies? Almost every time. It's give your life to Christ, follow Christ, do this. It's not much about the death of Christ on the cross for their sins, so that and his burial and his resurrection. So his blood can give them forgiveness and cleansing of sin. It's simply by faith in his blood. That's not really the message. So, you know, this is what the false prophet does. He uses religion. It's just going to take what has been done already. Look what it says, please, in verses 16. This image being able to speak. According to what I've read, I've said that a lot today. This is not just a mere haunted mansion. You ever go to a haunted mansion before? Come on. Yeah. I love the haunted mansion. And have you ever been to that spot where they have these little busts of, you know, little statues of men's heads? And then they project a hologram or something on it, and it looks like they're talking. Man, that freaked me out first time I saw it. But you know, the fact is, this is not that. It isn't that the beast or the false prophet makes a statue of the beast, and then he projects some kind of hologram on it so it looks like it's talking. It actually has a will. It actually can say things. It isn't like there's some kind of puppet. That you know, everybody, look at the image of the beast I've made. No. No, it isn't some kind of puppet. Instead, it is able to talk. In fact, it says he gives it life. That's breath. He gives it breath. It breathes. Starts to breathe. It talks. And it says, you know, first off, it says, if you don't worship the beast, you die. That's, okay, this is something much more than just magic. It is, and by the way, not many people come out of the haunted mansion saying, "Those things are alive." After my first time, I realized, wait a second, they aren't really alive. I was little, okay? All right, you have to understand that. Let's go to verses 13, chapter 13, 16 through 17. It says, "And he causeth all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in the right hand and in their foreheads, and that no man might buy or sell, save he that had the mark, or the name of the beast, or the number of his name." Okay, so have you heard of the vaccination passports? Every time I read about these kinds of things, I think, you know, every time I see the article is, "We are not going to have vaccination passports." Do you know, every time the government says that, it just makes me wonder. "Oh, no, we're not going to have vaccination passports." And then the next week, "Don't worry, we're not going to have vaccination passports." But I wonder sometimes if that's, you know, that's just setting up this idea of, you know, you got to get this or you're not going to be able to go to the store. And when you order online, they're going to leave it out at your curb. They're not even going to come close to your house because you haven't been vaccinated. It's possible. Everything that we're reading here seems more in just a year to be possible. That we would fall for that kind of thing, or people would. The mark, is it a tattoo? I don't think so. Most of the things I read, they call it a brand. Now, tattoos, you know, a brand, that would hurt. But if you're going to feed your family and all that, you got to have it. That's what it says. Verse 18, let's close with this. Here is wisdom. "Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man. And his number is 666." Have you ever heard this as 666? It's not. It's not 666. It's 666. So anytime you talk about the number of the beast, don't say 666. It's 666. Now, that's interesting because the word, and again, I only know enough to be super dangerous with Greek, But the word number is arithmo, or where we get arithmetic.
It actually is implying maybe more than I'm saying in these notes. I say in the notes, to me, it is just saying one thing. 666 is the number of a man. In this sense that, don't worry, as much as this Antichrist, this beast, tries to mimic the Son of God, he is just a man.
You see, we were created. Humankind, we were created on the sixth day of creation. And seven is the number of perfection. Six comes pretty close.
But don't worry. I think that's what I interpret this as. John is saying, or he's told, here's wisdom. In all your fears of this person, realize it is just a person. It's the number of a man. But other commentaries say, no, this is arithmetic. This is adding these numbers up. It's not 666. It's 666. And that someday during the tribulation, it'll all come together for those that are looking at that beast and the name and the number that it adds up to. Because Greek has numbers like Roman numerals. They use letters of their alphabet for numbers. And therefore, you can add up a name if you write it. So that's a possible explanation for it. 666. All right. Any questions? Next week, if you read the first part of Revelation chapter 14, you're going to see. And here's an easy way to remember it. 14, 144,000. See? Association. Well, where's the 144,000? We already heard about them once, but chapter 14 is a great explanation of 144,000. And plus, you know, if you've ever read some of the other stuff that is going to be very exciting, chapter 14, yes?
What was the answer to 8 down?
Oh, did I skip 8 down? 8 down. There is worldwide worship of the beast. Worldwide. Yes, great. All right.
Sure. Let's pray.
Heavenly Father, thank you for giving us this time together. Lord, we're looking ahead as revealed in the book of Revelation to the 70th week of Daniel. And you've given wisdom, it says, to those that live in that time. Maybe a warning that they need to run for that hiding place as they recognize who that beast really is. And then, Father, we realize the false prophet and religion. It is around us today. It is just a taste today what the world's going to experience in the tribulation time of a false religion. But Lord, we can see these words are truly capable of being fulfilled in our society, in our world today. So bless us, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.